everyone. Welcome back. Find a seat and grab the food that's no longer there. Good job eating it all, you guys. Just like your children, huh? Eating it all up. This Q&A, I brought my favorite two father and son combos. Figure out who's who. That was a joke, by the way.
I'm clearly somebody's son.
Yeah.
Matt is my dad.
It's good. Sorry, that's a bad joke. Hey, welcome to this Q&A session. I'm grateful to sit down with four of our elders in both children's and student ministries, and super grateful for your leadership over those ministries, but also just the way that you guys serve as servants. Some of you guys are regulars in the nursery serving, and you guys teach and preach, but you also just are in and among the people and so helpful. So thank you guys. And if any of you parents don't know these men, get to know them. So this is just the beginning. This is an invitation for you to not just hear their wisdom from a microphone, but to shake their hands and ask questions, ask what you think might be a silly question. They're available for you, and they would love to connect with you sometime today, but going forward. So these men are so helpful. You'll see that in this next hour here. Let's just start by having you guys introduce yourselves. Maybe give me who you are, who's your family, what's just sort of short history here at Grace, how long you've been here, and what your involvement is as well. Let's start with Rich, if you don't mind.
Sure. My name's Rich Harrisick, and I've been serving in children's probably since 1986 with my wife, Karen. We've had three kids and now nine grandkids. So I've, ever since, the mid-80s, I've been in children's ministries, never really been in a adult fellowship group, and just over the years served in juniors for a very long time, but now just find myself, whatever Trent Mabs wants me to do on a Sunday morning, I do, and also just to support Jay Lennington, who's your children's pastor here, in any way I can. So it's a joy to have opportunities like this and to serve in this ministry. We all say that this ministry's, even though we serve students and children's, it really is a ministry to you, to just to encourage you and to build you up. So it's my joy to do that.
Thanks.
Hi, guys. My name is Esai. I get to serve as the high school pastor here at Grace, and I've had that privilege since August of 2022. So this is my fourth year doing that, which has been a special joy because it's the first group that I've gotten to see from freshman to senior year. And so I love what I get to do. I get to serve in that ministry alongside Matt Palladian, who will introduce himself in a bit, and some have confused to be my dad. And I love him. Thanks, Dad. So it's an inside joke, but this is enough. I love being here, and maybe most important, my wife's here with me today. She's sitting at one of the tables back there. Just pointed her out. She did not like that. But I love her. And her name is Danny. We met in college and then got married 2015, came out this way. Came to seminary in 2017 with one kid. And we are now on number five. It's still in the oven. It's in the hopper. You'll know our kids because they go all the way from well done to medium well to medium rare. One of the first ones very brown and Puerto Rican, and the last one, You would think I picked her up at a farm. She's just strawberry blonde and beautiful, and that's how we like them. So we've got four kids in kids ministry, and we love it. I got to tell you, I'm not here because I'm an expert. I'm here because I'm a parent. I am here, and we love our church, not only because we get to serve here, but we're served so well here. Sunday nights, even as a pastor, are hard, and I can tell you, I'd want to crash and pass out. And sometimes I've told myself I want to stay at home, and I got that little strawberry blonde that comes up and goes, "Are we going to Benjer Club? Are we going to Benjer Club?" She doesn't have the Hispanic accent, but I have to. Yeah, I have.
I give her so much candy to say that.
Are we going to Benjer Club? And I say, "Yeah, sweetie, we are." And our kids love it here, and so it's just been such a joy to be a part of. So love being here, love serving here, and love the way that our kids are blessed by being at Grace.
Yeah, I introduced myself a little bit earlier this morning, but just as a reminder, I'm Jay Lennington, and I've been the middle school pastor here for 11 years, about to start year 12, which is a long time, but I love doing it, and I think those students are such a, they can be a really intimidating, scary, smelly group, and I get that, but I love their honesty, I love their just, yeah, their such a tender-hearted group. They are so receptive to the gospel, and it just it's such a joy to work in that ministry, and I'm so thankful to get to do it. Recently, I became the children's pastor about 4 years ago and have been doing that, kind of both of those. So again, I am not Superman. I have great teams that help. And I lean on these guys a lot. And David Torres is here. He's another one of our children's ministry elders that is so helpful to me. We just have really great teams. There's guys in the basement watching kids. And those a lot of those are our Adventure Club teachers. And God has just richly blessed our ministry a lot. So it's not just me. It's a huge effort. My wife, Leah, and I moved out here 13 years ago. We had three kids at the time. Now we have four, and I kind of ran through those this morning, but an oldest daughter in college, two sons in high school, and a little girl in third grade. So we are kind of all over the place, from college tuition and FAFSA and all kinds of stuff to, you know, basic math, which is helpful in the FAFSA, it turns out. But I love, you know, I love this opportunity to get to be a pastor here. And I came out from the Midwest to go to TMS and didn't intend on, you know, wasn't in the plan or on our bingo card to stay here. But just in the Lord's providence and timing, he kept us around, and we've just been so blessed to be here. Not so that I could be a pastor, but so that my family could go to this church. And that's one of those things I was not anticipating, the blessing of Grace Church on the lives of my wife and my children. And we have just been so thankful to be here, to have our kids go through children's ministry and juniors ministry, the awkward phase of middle school with dad, pastor dad, and then, of course, having most of our kids in Esai and Matt's ministry there in 180. Just been such a rich blessing. So we're thankful for our church, which I know many of you are too. That's why you're here. This church is a great place to be. So, yeah.
Hi, everyone. My name is Matt Palladian. And as Esai said, he and I get to minister to your high school students, if any of you are high school parents. My wife, Jenny, and I have done that for almost 20 years here at Grace Church. We're matching today. She's wearing green in the back. We didn't plan that, but someone commented on it as we were walking from the parking lot. And
healthy so marriage.
We are of one mind. Yep. We are of one mind.
Growing, green.
We have three children. Our first high schooler at 14. So he's now part of the ministry that we've been investing in for the better part of our lives. And that's been a real joy. We have a middle schooler, and then we have one also in fourth grade, so elementary school. So we're kind of across that season. But the little years don't seem too far long ago. It is easy to remember. And it also is easy to say how quick it goes. So I know that people have said that to you. They certainly said it to us. We're so thankful for the season that we're in. We were thankful for the little years, and we're excited about what's to come. All of that because the Lord is teaching us daily what it means to be parents. So not only do I get to do ministry with these guys, but they're also friends of mine. And I think that's one of the blessings of Grace Church. And as you guys look around the room, you have people who you get to do this with. I can ask any of these men, David, who's another elder that Jay mentioned, Steve Crawford, who will be here later. These are men that I would go to about anything. And then I've learned so much from the parents of our high schoolers I was like, okay, this high schooler seems to get it. What did you guys do 10 years ago that resulted in this? Because we know that didn't happen overnight. And so we have benefited greatly from ministering to you, because you're teaching us. And so I'm just really thrilled to be able to give back a little bit of that today as we focus on what God's word says about parenting.
Excellent. It's so helpful to see firsthand the things you guys will share, the wisdom you'll share, is lived out. Not perfectly, but by God's grace in each of your families. And the different stages y'all are in, it's super encouraging to see. When I moderate Q&As, I love a lightning round. So normally it's like a get to know you, so I'll do like questions of the person. But let's make this about the parents, about them. So I've got a couple categories of parents. I would love a, not comprehensive, but like a one-liner or advice or encouragement or counsel to this kind of parent. Does that make sense? Okay, got a few. And you don't all have to answer. You can just jump in as you feel led. And just give me something. It could be funny. Could be.
Yeah, like pick up your
could
socks.
Could be funny.
Could be.
Could be helpful. Whatever. Whatever
make
you want to do.
Bed.
Could be funny and helpful.
Okay.
Okay.
Brush your teeth.
So what encouragement or advice or counsel do you have for, first, super excited but super anxious parents to be?
Stay that way.
I'd love to hear this.
What'd you say, Rick?
Say it again.
Stay that way.
Stay that way. I like it. It's good.
Stay super excited.
I would say sleep. Sleep as much as you can until that precious gift is with you.
I think you'll know when you need to know.
I think I gave you that question. We are super excited, super nervous, expecting parents.
Good. Like
so
that.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for answering.
So even pastors can be the same way you are. Good. Second category, a busy mom of young children. What would you say to her?
You're doing great.
Yeah, don't put too much expectation on yourself.
24 hours at a time. Yep.
Don't forget to pray.
A dad of several elementary age kids. A dad.
Okay, I'll listen to you guys.
24 hours at a time. I'm dead serious.
Yeah. And you're doing great.
Put a lot of expectation on yourself. Get your head in the
Come
game.
Come on, finish it.
I mean,
Don't forget to pray.
Could I add, yes, pray and pray with them at that age.
I would actually, to not be funny, I would actually say have fun with them.
That's good.
Say no as little as possible.
Say yes sometimes.
I feel like we can close in prayer.
Dude, I'm about to cry with you guys giving these answers. Good night.
Last one here. What would you say to discouraged parents of teens? You would listen first, right? That's good.
Oof.
I would really lean on your belief and your reliance on the sovereignty of God. And that this is more than a one-sentence answer.
And that it is a season like everything else has been. It's a season. It has a beginning and an end.
We're in that season, so I think I would just say they need to become the priority. So prioritize them as much as you can.
As a high school pastor, I feel compelled to have to speak into this. I would say don't lose hope. And I think it's tied to Matt's answer that it's a season. But this isn't the only season, so don't lose hope.
Amen. It's good wisdom. I have a few questions that the team came up with, but a few questions that were submitted as well. So thank you all for submitting questions. If you submit some during the Q&A, I have a phone, so I'll see them. So that means submit questions. Let's start with a question that was submitted. I found it really helpful because it's literally our topic, but it's asking for help. And I love that because y'all can help with God's word here. What are practical ways to help my child develop a genuine relationship with God and not just follow rules?
I'll go. Yeah, I think that's a great question, and you know, you've heard Ephesians 6 verse 4 mentioned already this morning a few times. The simplicity of God's word and its instruction to parents, it's not a lot, but it's a lot. And as we are aimed at not only not provoking our children to anger, but really this high task of teaching our kids to the discipline, the instruction of the Lord, it is a lot. And one of my favorite, you know, kind of ways to think about that is what Moses says in Deuteronomy 6, which is a little different, but also the exact same. And what he says in Deuteronomy 6, you know this, but it's we are constantly looking for every opportunity to talk to our children about the things of the Lord. When you sit, when you lie down, when you go out, when you come back along the way, he's just giving this instruction to fathers to make the most of the day in front of you. Yeah, you can do that at family devotion time. You can also do that on the way home from school. You can talk to your kids when you tuck them into bed at night, or when you pray with them at night, or at the dinner table. It's a little bit of a mindset that says, let me look for opportunities to talk to my kids about God, that he's real, that his word is true. And that when we get to these issues of obedience, reminding them that my job as their father is to help them understand, I'm trying to be the kind of dad that God wants me to be. And I'm trying to help you be the kind of, right now, child that God wants you to be, because he made us both, you know, and we're just looking for moments. And when they're little, those moments are little. They're small, just little truths that I can, you know, just if I could just hang their, you know, their thoughts on these little moments, it can be so helpful. But it doesn't just have to be, well, let me say it differently. It shouldn't just be Sunday morning on the way to church. Hey, let's sing a song. Dad's going to pray real quick. Or Wednesday night, like, what'd you learn? But it's every day. It's moments that you can find to just help them know those big truths about God. He's their creator. He made them. He's got an awesome plan for them. And when we need trouble or comfort or care, yes, I'm so glad you came to me and maybe mom, but let's go to the Lord, the one who can help. Just we're constantly driving our kids to the Lord, not in an annoying way, not in a, Bible verse, memory, what do you got? Which, you know, sometimes you need that too, but little ways to just talk to them about the reality that God exists.
One, addressing the practical side of this, and then maybe then a second practical tip, is the most practical way I would think of helping that distinction come about is to pray for them. I can't save them. My rules can't save them. My Christianity can't save them. My discipleship can't save them. My training them can't save them. My teaching them can't save them. So then I got to go ask the person that can save them to save them. So if I practically want to work out that desire and genuinely want them to have a relationship with God, I need to plead with God to have a relationship with them. So pray. I know I say that, knowing I'm going to go home today realizing I could be praying more for the same thing. And then because salvation is by grace through faith, then you're praying that God would save them. But then your home, and I want to lean into the following rule side of this question, needs to be fueled by the grace of the gospel, which means if it's just rules, and then when we break those rules, everything is about the rules, can't possibly say this is a gospel-oriented family because there's no grace. So that means I'm going to model the gospel and, yes, praying for my kids, but then also forgiving them, having compassion, being long-suffering, being patient, being loving, being kind, being caring, and taking my time through all of those seasons because it's not about my rules. It's actually about the gospel. And so I want them to follow the rules, But as much as I want them to follow the rules, I want them to know that there's grace. That's the gospel.
Yeah, I would underscore probably both those. And going back to Deuteronomy 6, one verse before what Jay was talking about, it says, these words which I'm commanding you today, so that's what you are to teach them. That's the them. You shall teach them those rules and commandments to them diligently through just the milieu of life. But verse 6 says, these words which I'm commanding you today shall be on your heart. So he's talking to the parents, Moses is, what God wants him to say. Which is a way to say, you know, you need to get your life straight first before you would bring those commands on to your children. You need to know the statutes and the commands of the Lord, which is to say, live the example of the gospel in front of your children. You know, make much of the Lord. You know, do your children know your testimony? Do they see you doing your devotions? Do they see you practically living out the Christian life? You know, you've heard that phrase, doctrine sets the nail, but example drives it home. And that's your example. If you were to ask my kids who are now in their mid-30s, like, what was our parenting life, they wouldn't remember any of the rules that we had. They only remember them because they know I use them in my preaching or whatnot. And they've heard that. I don't think they would remember it on their own. But what they do remember is the character of mom and dad. So, you know, in answering the question, how do I get my kids kind of to really appropriate the gospel unto themselves? It's to make much of Christ through your life, to make your life an example, an attractive example, you know, salt and light within your house, a lot of what, you know, Matt was talking about this morning. Just always have that focus on your life is to be the example in the home for a gospel purpose.
So helpful, brothers. Let me ask a related question that was submitted. So we'll stay right where we are, the gospel, right? How do you teach your kids to be obedient to God's word while also teaching them that we can't do anything good in and of ourselves? In other words, how do you teach your kids the standard of God's word and what it has to say for life, but at the same time teach them that in order to obey God, you need Christ? Is that a balance? Is that both and? How do you navigate that as a parent?
What I would tell people, if you have two roles, two things going on, at the same time you're an antagonist of your children's sin, so you're always bringing up that they're stumbling. You're doing that through just the rules, the restrictions, the expectations that you have in the home for their behavior, their speech, everything. It's obviously all biblically based. You can point it back to a Bible verse. But you're an antagonist of their sin, all right? And we know those standards are there. So sin would be magnified. So it would be made known. So at the same time, you're an antagonist of your children's sin, but you're also an advocate of the gospel. And that's the part, the second part's easy to do. It's easy to catch your kids doing wrong. It's what you do with them once they do something wrong. And that's where it takes a lot of time. And these two guys at the end, and you're starting to see as your kids get older, you long for the days when all it was is like, you did wrong, go in your room, we're going to take care of it, we're done with it. Now it's how many hours discussion with why do I have to study this, Dad, kind of thing. And so it's a lot more talking, and that's where you're going from discipline to discipleship. So it what it looks like when they're really little is, hey, buddy, you were told not to do this. You made the choice to do it. Got to take care of it. If it's corporal punishment, do that. But then it's like, I love you, and I want to pray for you that you would know that the Lord would help you next time, bring it to your mind what to do and not to do. Get a little older. Hey, buddy, you did wrong. Why did you do wrong? And help them see it's because of sin in their life. And that's when you start having opportunities that Christ died so that you could change. And you know what? You're not going to change because your heart is just like Daddy's heart was, unable to not sin. But the good news, the gospel, why we take you to church, why we talked about the Bible is that Jesus can change your life so that you have the ability to not to sin and to please him. And then you just, you know, again, you're just spreading seeds of the gospel, but you're using those rules are for a purpose. They're not just to change their outward behavior. It's not just to establish a morality in your child. It has a gospel purpose, and it's to show them the need for the Savior. So they're both hand in hand.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I think if we over-index on the rules, like Isai was saying even earlier, then we've missed the way that you unlock obedience, right? Which is by honoring, desiring to honor the Lord, right? So Psalm 119, I think, is a really helpful thing. Psalm 119 is all about the commandments. But if you look at, I'll just take the first two stanzas, which there's over 20 stanzas here. They all have the same outline. And so Psalm 119, one says, blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek them with their whole heart. If we drop down to the next stanza, verse 9, how can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word, right? So that's obedience. With my whole heart, I seek you. And so helping your children, even presenting this to ourselves as we recognize that we are prone to be legalists, is to say the only way to unlock obedience, to really truly follow what the Lord has commanded, is a desire, having a desire to pursue him with your whole heart, not just with your actions, not just with your words, but actually. And so what does it mean? What does that mean to want Christ with your whole heart? Well, now that's the gospel. Now you've said, and so you're connecting what you're asking of them in their obedience to what helps them the most, which is to have a heart focused on the one who calls them to obey, right?
Amen. Those are such helpful thoughts and pointing us to God's word in that. I have another question here that maybe broadens the perspective. So Pastor John has talked a lot about providing shade for our children. That's the church and the family. This question asks, can you help explain the balance between providing shade for our children with the other side of potential negative sheltering your children from the world in an unhelpful way?
Man, that's a great question. I think I'm going to talk about that a little bit in my breakout session, so stay tuned. I'm just kidding. I'll give some more. But I think, you know, as parents, our instincts are initially just to protect. And that's right, especially with that newborn and infant and small child. They need all those rules. They need all that help. And as we think about the world that they live in, which isn't changing, except maybe getting worse, how do I help my, you know, kid thinking about sort of the end goal here a little bit? Sorry, mama, that I know that newborn you love, but it's going to grow. That son of yours is going to be taller than you one day and eventually leave your home. I'm not trying to make you cry, but that's going to happen. So what's the goal when they leave your home, and how do they interact with this world that they live in? And it's always the right question of how do I balance this? How do I, you know, create the right amount of shade for them, and how do I really help them know how do they live wisely? How do they live God-honoring lives one day? It's already been said, we can't save them, but we do everything we can to lead them to that knowledge of their need for Christ, their need for the gospel, and that hopefully they're making that decision before they leave our home. And they might not, but our prayer is that they would. And as they do, then how can they be as prepared as possible? So there is a million things to say about that, but it is to do that. Parents, prepare your kids to interact with that stuff. To think wisely about it, to understand what it is, no matter what issue we're talking about. But do they know what God's word has to say about it? And do they see you model it? I'm literally giving you my breakout seminar. But But I think that's
I want to go.
I think that's so helpful to know if you protect them all the way up until the moment you drop them off at college, you've done them a disservice. They are overly protected. And I know a lot of parents think, I've done my job. And now, Lord, it's your turn. But you haven't prepared them to live wisely in this world. So I'll stop there because I have to have something to say at 2 o'clock.
maybe let me pick up on that at the very tail end there where Jay is saying, like, you know, I've protected them this far. Now, Lord, it's on you. That's sheltering. But shading is, Lord, it's always been on you. So I can't build a cage. I can't keep them from anything. I've seen it time and time again, and I say it with fear because maybe I could see it in my own home. Like, the world's not spoiling your kid. They're born that way. And we're so nervous that the world is going to contaminate and, like, indoctrinate and make our kids sinful. And they can make them more sinful, but they are sinful. So we got to get our theology right to then do our parenting right. And the sheltering says, I got this, God. And then at some point, yeah, they're going to grow up and they'll leave my house. And that's where, God, you can take it over from here. But I did such a good job now, didn't I? Shading says, God, this is all you. And I think what we struggle with is more the balance of, like, okay, if it doesn't really depend on me, then what do I do? But that doesn't absolve your responsibility. You are a parent. So shading means, well, my job is to protect and to prepare and to maybe not build a cage, but there's a door on this house. And sometimes we go out and sometimes we come back in, and little by little, as I see your life out there, sometimes you grow up to the point where you get a key. Now, I'm using my foot here. You can go out that door. You can come back in. There's a time when you have to be back, but I'm going to trust you to go out there. Why? Well, because we've been working on that time and time again. And not just we've been working on that, but we've been trusting the Lord the whole time. These are God's children first. And he has given us the great privilege of shepherding a couple of them toward loving him and knowing him. So I think the difference really becomes that shading means we're trusting the Lord, and sheltering means we're trusting ourselves.
So helpful, brothers, and especially from the two youth pastors. How fitting. Because you guys are so instrumental in helping young teens and teens grow in that. But I always hear you guys say in the basement, we need these parents to lead the charge in that. So I think what you brothers have said is a challenge to the parents in the room to make sure that they are thinking about that rightly and trusting in God all the way through. Here's another question. I think it's a really good one, really helpful for younger parents. Should parenting approaches differ between boys and girls when it comes to building future leadership and responsibility?
Matt?
Dad? Sorry, well, I won't
I'm
do it again.
I can answer this. I'm looking at Rich because I think I watched you do this as a dad, as with your kids in youth ministry, and I don't know how purposeful you were, but maybe you could share just a little insight on how you looked at that with your kids who have become actual contributors to society.
Tell me what I did, and then I'll comment on it.
So, and maybe
what thing did I do that you liked?
Maybe I watched him, thought there was a secret, and actually he didn't know what he was doing.
What did you observe?
So what I observed from your kids is that they knew who they were as a young man and a young lady very early on in their high school experience. And, you know, Drew was very clear with who he was. He didn't have this kind of I'm still finding myself, which some students do. And then Emma in the same way. Emma had a really solid relationship with you. I mean, she loved you as her dad, but she acted like her mom. And I don't know if that was just because of they watched you guys or if you did something in terms of spending time, but Drew was a mini Rich and Emma was a mini Karen, right? Yeah. I mean, it's just you know, their own personalities, and it was so unique, but they also were very classically heretics. So I don't know, I'm just trying to get, what is this?
Goals.
Just proper, goals right there. Just to make sure you got that, heretics, not heretics. That was...
I was literally going to say... Yeah.
It's a rough last name when you're a Christian.
Well, that's very kind of you. I think, but just the question, different approaches?
Yeah, between boys and girls. Should there be a difference?
Probably yes and no. I mean, to Isai's point, I mean, what you were saying in that last question is you're really going after the child's heart because, like, going back to that question, even if you try to put them in the bubble, there's already sin in their heart, and so you really kind of train them. So the approach is really the same because it's still a heart that needs to be trained. But obviously there's and Jay was saying is like, you do want them to be able to walk out of the home, whether it's go to college or something like that, and be prepared. So to that point, they need to be prepared to be a young man or a young woman kind of thing. So yeah, I think as you're getting older as parents, you want to kind of look for goals in there. And again, I would say it's just really, and I'll, speaking of my session coming up, I'm going to be talking a lot about mine is on the birds and the bees, and a big part of that is before you get to the point where you think you have to have an awkward talk, is you need to develop a relationship with your child first, or not first, but make that an important part so you can have any conversation that you need to have, that you develop a relationship. So I think the approach, I think, maybe the better question is, do you have a different approach for any of your kids? And I think that would be it, that you do spend time knowing your kids. So just maybe as a practical thing, so before, you know, we would go to junior high or high school Wednesday night deals, I would take them out to dinner first. And so that is a different approach because they were just different and we just would have different conversations. And, I mean, obviously, guys and girls are different, so you're going to be sweet to your little girl and things like that. Beyond the obvious. I don't think we had anything purposeful like we want to do this or that, but probably just goes back to, you know, Matt, I think it's a compliment. It says my son was like me and Emma's like Karen. Was again just going back to using your life as an example and using the example of your life as a tool in your parenting. So.
Yeah, I would add to that, it is a yes, no. When they're little, no, the goal is the same regardless, I think. And as they get older, that changes a lot. And I think also what Rich said is so huge. You wouldn't take the same parenting approach, even though, like, if you have four children, we have parented all four of our kids very differently. And because those kids, and I want you to get this, are very different. And understanding who your kid is versus the next kid or the next kid, if you're going to try to carbon copy your parenting approach, I promise you, kid number two is going to throw you for a huge loop. So, you know, understanding that from the get-go, this is going to be different. But, you know, generally speaking, those early days, early years, it's general obedience. We're after the same things. We're regardless here. We're talking about the same, obey mommy, obey daddy. It's not really that different. In our home, I don't know. I would say our girls were much harder than the boys. The girls were so strong-willed, probably because they're much smarter and just better thinkers and just so many factors there.
But I really hope this isn't being recorded.
Those boys already know.
Well, it is. It's already cut up into a clip and posted on the internet.
I would tell this to them right now.
Yeah. I've told them too.
But it was like with the girls, it was, man, we're going through this again and again, the same discipline, the same kind of sin, the same response. And it was almost like they were like, I can do this all day. And the boys, it was like, you know, like that one time where we kind of had to do that little battle and they needed to know that mom and dad were serious and they weren't going to win. And it took a while, an hour or two, but eventually, and it seemed almost like, yep, that was it. So maybe your home's very different. I just want you to know those kids are so different. Now, as they do get older, what Rich said, I think, is gold. My objective for my daughter is different from my son because this has different objectives for them, right? I want my – that's a huge compliment. I would love my daughters to be like my wife, and it's scary for me to say, but I hope I can. I want my sons to be like me. Eesh, that was hard. I didn't even like that. But that's the goal a little bit, right? And I think that's the model that we're trying to demonstrate to them. So often it's similar, but as they get older, okay, it's time to get specific, which is why one of your kids you may homeschool and another needs to go to private school or, you know, public school. One of your kid needs more time. One, you know, they're just so different because God made them different.
I just want to, because I don't want it to look like I lobbed a question at Rich, but I do. I think I see a lot of parents do this well in middle school and high school. And I, just to get really practical, once you're done with the little years, which is just how to make sure you survive life, that's the basic skills.
Don't touch the stove. Know,
brush your teeth, go potty, don't put your finger in an electrical socket, that sort of thing.
Normal stuff.
But once you're kind of past that and you believe they'll survive, it's... and this is an advertisement for, I know not everybody has this situation, but the mom and the dad do this together. A dad's job is to teach his son how to be a man and his daughters how a man should treat them. And a mom's job is to teach her daughters how to be women, women of God in particular, Proverbs 31 women, and teach her sons how to treat a woman. And that could be kind of your guiding principles for the time you spend together. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, not just the heretics, but other godly parents that I've seen go through high school ministry did just that.
Yeah, I don't want to add too much, but just to say that I've gotten to see the example in both Matt and Jay, and I can see that I'm learning the approaches of that. I think the only bad approach is don't be involved in, like, as a dad, don't be involved in your daughter's lives. Or as a mom, don't be involved in your son's life. Well, that's my husband's job, or that's my wife's job. You're already lost. So that's why when I get home and my three-year-old is, like, talking about painting her nails, that's not my thing, but I gas her up. Oh, my goodness, those are beautiful, baby. And why are you painting your nails? Where are you going? But I want her to know, like, I love it. I love that she's a girl. Like, so it's kind of funny because maybe not so much an approach, but the differences are there. And as we grow up, I can't just be interested in my boys. What are my girls learning about a man in that? Like Matt's saying. And same with my wife. She can't just be interested in the girls. She has to know what these boys are and who they are, and they need to see that. And so you can't not be involved in the opposite gender there.
That's really, really good, guys. I hear each child is individual, whether they're a boy or a girl. So treat them that way. I also see inherent humility on this stage in seeing other families and getting help from pastors and leaders and other parents. It's so good, guys. And I also see connectedness with your spouse on this thing, boy or girl. It's not any one's job. And it's also, again, with the help of the church, help of input of other people. Yeah. It's really good. I think all four of you like golf. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to tee one up for you guys. I didn't say you were good at golf. I said you liked golf. Or bought golf merch, like hats and stuff.
Maybe.
So I'm going to tee one up for you guys as those involved in children's and students' ministries. What might, since all the parents are wondering this right now, what might ideal involvement be? What might it look like in children's and in student ministries? What would you, if you had a room full of parents here today, somewhere on this planet?
Hypothetically,
asking for a friend. Okay. What would you ask those parents to do, commitment-wise? What's the conversation at home? How do they help their child be a part of your ministry? What would you say? What are the key elements that you would encourage?
I think my encouragement to those parents, if they're out there, is when you do your part, we can actually do our part, not the other way around. Like, we are here to support you. You don't support high school ministry or junior high ministry. I mean, you do, and we love that. I just mean in terms of how it works, we are here for you. And so we're not, our objective is not contrary to you. Our objective is not to derail you. Our objective is not to do your job. We, like, this is why this conference exists, I think, is actually, it's us going, hey, we know that we're a church, but we know that if we're going to be a healthy church, the most important part is your home. And if you can get your home in order, then we can actually be a healthy church. Healthy homes, healthy church. That's the way it works. And so I would encourage you to be parents who want to honor Jesus in their lives. And then in part of that is saying, and we won't do it alone. That's what youth ministry is there for. That's what student ministry is there for. And it goes back to maybe a previous question that we asked, but I think it was, how do we help our students or our kid get to a place of true, genuine, saving faith? Well, I don't want them just to see mom and dad as a Christian. I'm going to put them in front of a billion other Christians. You want Christianity? I'm not crazy. You think the Jesus thing is insane? Well, watch this. Go into this place where there's a bunch of people that believe in this Jesus thing and that are real about it. That's what I need them to see. And I need them to wrestle with the fact that there's also a lot of people that say they're about the Jesus thing and are evidently not. So I know that some people are sometimes even a little afraid of that with youth ministry. Like, why would I send them to high school group when there's kids down there who are hooligans? Well, I'm not trying to do a contrast thing, but I am. Do you rather them learn from a hooligan on the streets or in the church? Like, at least we got some rules. Like, we're going to put some parameters on the hooligan stuff. And we're here to help you. Like, but yeah, there are kids here who are not saved. I think it's a great place for a kid to learn how to deal with that as a Christian, or how to walk with that and come to saving faith when they've got friends who don't know Jesus and some that do. So honestly, it's more just let us come alongside of you. And in that means us getting to know you and you getting to know us. I don't blame you if you don't trust youth ministry and we don't know each other. That makes a lot of sense to me. But if me and you can get on the same page, and I can just keep encouraging you that I'm not here to replace you. I am in no way, shape, or form here to replace you guys. I am here to help you guys. I think we can work together. And so that would be my encouragement.
And I'll give you a super practical way to do that we did. So both the middle school and high school still have small groups, right? You got midweek programs, that kind of thing. So all of you parents that have kids in those programs, your son or daughter has a small group leader. And so what
juniors,
I would...
Right?
What's that?
That starts it.
Yeah, in juniors.
Even in juniors, yeah. You're right. And I would say get to know those small group leaders, and really to the point where you would even have them over to your house and get to know them. And the principle behind this would be, I learned this from John Bates, who's one of our long-term elders here, is his phrase was, influence those that can influence others. And in this context, influence your children's small group leader so that they can influence your kids, all right? And just get to know them, have them get to know you, see your kid in the home, because oftentimes they're very different than what they show up on Sunday or Wednesday. But just integrate them into your family and allow these small group leaders to be on your team, basically. There's also Body Life that can help them, because more than likely they're possibly younger, all right? They're mostly in their 20s or whatnot, not all of them. But maybe you can, you know, you can use your gifts and help them mature in Christ as well. But that's just a real practical way. I mean, Matt Villoon, Mike Essen are two of the guys that helped our kids. They would come over, one of them, I forget which one, would come over like once a week and just would game with Drew, all right? Just have a good time, bond, and just be an influence in your life. I used this example the other day. But think of your parenting in the church as two banks of a river, all right? Obviously, you have the primary responsibility. You're commanded to guide your kid in a certain direction down the river. But the church is there as a bank following every step of the way as your child flows down the path of life to guide them in the direction that you would want them to go. So, and I think even, Matt, you talked about it in your talk about allow the church to help influence your life. I mean, that is the koinonia, that is the family. That is why Ephesians 4:12, why you sit under the teaching of the pulpit is that you learn and that you do the ministry, right? And the reason why you're given gifts in 1 Peter is to serve the body. We're here for the purpose of allowing our lives to be influenced by each other and for us to influence each other's life. And you can do that directly in the context of student ministries and in juniors as well and Grace Kids. So that's just a really practical way and a way that we really benefited in our family from these guys' ministry. So actually, as you were asking that question, Matt, I was thinking, how could I, like, in this time here today, just give these guys a plug? And that's the plug, all right? They are there for them. And use them, and it's a super practical way. And their small group leaders would love that.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what I was hoping to share. Maybe I would just also add, if there's a question that you have about our ministries and how it might pertain to your family, please ask. If there's a question you have about something you don't understand about our church, would love for you to ask. You know, how does this work? How does this impact my, you know, kid? And that relationship is so helpful because I would also love it if you would share with us, hey, you know, here's something about my child that is might be helpful for you to know. And that kind of information, which allows us to minister to you and your family, I say that because sometimes I've been a pastor of a young teen for a year or two. And then we have a little issue, and mom says, yeah, he's been like that for like 6 years. And it's like, man, just a little heads up would have been so valuable. And I get that. You know, I know it's a big church. And so I bring that up just to say, even though it's a big church, we care about each and every family. And we can't do that if we don't know. So I know we're kind of asking, you know, hey, would you initiate that? But it would be so helpful. If I could set up a dream scenario, it would be that you would take that initiative to let us know what's going on and questions you have and things you don't understand so that we could just, you know, do the best job that we can to minister to your family.
That's really good. Parents, help these brothers and their ministries help you. Be a core part of your child's life, but help them help you. They're here for you. I have a few questions here. Maybe they're not quite lightning round, but more just quick questions that maybe you can help some particular parents in the room. There are questions that I read that I thought we need to get that one in there. We need these brothers' thoughts on this. Answer this one. What advice can you give to a single mom who is not the parent she wants to be?
I know. Man, this is near and dear to my heart. I deal with a lot of single moms here. I would just say this is not a short answer, so I'll try to keep it brief. But establishing a biblical parenting in that mom's life is so key. The church cannot replace her as parent. We say that in every single one of our youth ministry, student ministry, children's ministry, interactions with parents. We are not trying to replace you. We believe that because we believe the Bible, which means even though that single mom needs help, I cannot be that child's father. I cannot undo her role as that kid's parent. So my main objective is to give her as much biblical support and truth in her role as mom and a little bit dad as I possibly can. I want to equip her and encourage her in what that role looks like. Of course, as a church, we want to do things to come around that mom and help. You know, can we watch another sibling of that, you know, in that family, so that mom can spend some time with this particular kid because she could use that. Can we bring a meal over? Can we just kind of spend some time together? But I, even though my instinct as a dad sometimes is like, give me that kid. I'll set him straight. Give me 25 minutes. Nope. Because I'm undermining the relationship that God in his divine plan chose for that mom and that kid. And I don't want to undo that. I want her to be that child's authority, and I want that child to learn, this is my mom. This is my parent. And so it's hard, you know, that's not the most ideal scenario, and I know that, but we want to try to, you know, just equip with as much truth and help as we possibly can without crossing over what those roles are meant to be.
Amen. That's helpful.
Can I add to that? Because I get this question a lot too. And just as encouragement and from a really big view, and it's really for all of you that your role as both a spouse, and if you're single for sure, just as a child of God is that God is using your parenting and every situation in it to sanctify you. Okay. So whether you're single or even if you're married in the classic home kind of thing, you're still going to have issues in your home, and you have to be able to step back. And that's why I said that the previous quick answer, know that God is sovereign, is that God did not, your singleness in parenting did not take God by surprise. In fact, he decreed it from before time. So no, God has put you in that position for the purpose of sanctifying you. And he's never given you anything as a Christian that you cannot fulfill biblically and as a Christian. And just remember that your goal, whether you're a single parent or otherwise, is that your goal in parenting is to be a faithful instrument in God's hands for bringing your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And don't see how your kid responds to your parenting as the success of your parenting. The success of your parenting begins and ends with you, just how faithful you are to that simple thing that God has come from you. Because even classic home with two parents still have kids that act up, and I give the same advice to you. Just because your kid does not listen and obey to you is not an indication of your parenting.
Amen. Let me just say this. If you know a single parent, let's all be Pastor Jay. Let's all help. Let's all bring a meal. Let's all be an encouragement to those single parents in our church who are with us in this endeavor of parenting. Let's try to help another kind of parent. These are young parents who've been told they are, and this is the question, they're, quote, too young to be having children. The question submitters here may or may not be 22 years old each.
Oh.
And they've been told, you are too young, young Padawan. Oh. What would you say?
Better than too old.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean,
great job.
If God,
that's going on
Father Abraham over here. Not you. Sorry, Dad.
We were at a restaurant.
We were
at a restaurant last week. Rich was there. And Esai put... Oh, Jay was there too. Sorry, I forgot you. The waitress asked, after Esai put in his order, if I was his dad. And I said, we have daughters the same age. And she said, she doubled down. She said, well, he got started early. So it is actually... It is related
it's I to ordered,
I mean, it's a fair question when he orders mac and cheese.
I was going to say, I ordered chicken tendies and fries. What did you expect?
Danny and Esai were about that age
young.
When they became parents. This question to me, I don't want to belittle whoever asked the person this question, but my response is, so if where in the Bible does it say there's an age that you can't become a parent, right? There's an order in that is required for becoming a parent, right? But age, that's someone who doesn't understand the Bible. Mm.
And if it's a concern about financial stability, if it's a concern about godliness, all of those things are not, they do not preclude you from being a parent, because God is the one who ordains when that child is born. So I think it's just a lack of understanding of what the biblical commands are around parenting. And praise God, if you're married and you're starting your family young, and you're going to have a lot more energy when that kid wants to throw a football around.
Yeah, that's really good. I mean, that's just wind in the sails for someone who feels like maybe it's their parents, or maybe it's a godly even couple in their lives who've just made a comment they didn't really mean, and maybe they're discouraged by that. But that's so helpful, Matt. Thank you.
Yeah, and it is, just from experience, it is a blessing, because both my kids got, I think, engaged at 20, and I think they had already decided that they're going to get married when they were probably 18 or 19 or whatnot. And I just look back and I see what a blessing. And we were just, I was just talking to my son-in-law and my daughter the other day. And if just from seeing how the Lord blessed them, that would be my advice, is to marry young and have kids young. And people say, well, what if I'm not ready? Shouldn't I? And it's like, I understand the basis of that comment, but what's even better is just growing up and growing up together, and going back to, you went to Genesis 2, right? Is that God gave man and woman each other to complement each other, and that's for a reason. So, like, enjoy it from the earliest time you can do that.
That's right. Praise God. Let's help one more kind of parent. Here's the question. How do you parent biblically when, this is the question asker, my parents were divorced and I wasn't exposed to godly parenting growing up?
Well, the first step is come to a conference like this.
Yeah.
And I have to say, I was blessed with parents who love the Lord, and we were given a model, but even their model wasn't fully informed by the church or God's word. And my wife was raised Catholic, and so there were nuances there, and we needed to establish how we were going to parent and how we were going to understand parenting. So we just got wisdom from the church. When we were expecting our first, we had a breakout session in a Bible study we were going to with the senior pastor of the church we were at, because we were living out of town while I was in school, and it was super practical, and it's created a great foundation. So being able to be educated on what God's word says, great first step. The second is, and that's why I kind of said it's great to be in a room with other parents, is we got so much wisdom from parents who were just a couple of steps ahead of us, where we watched them parent, and we said, we know what the Bible says, they're doing it practically. Can they help us? And even from things like sleep training, I remember my wife on the phone with a friend going, okay, he's not sleeping. And then they would calm her down and they would help her, because they were just a few steps ahead and they had figured that out. So just the church and everyone in it is here to establish that. So you don't have to bank on your experience. You can bank on what the Lord has given you today.
James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given. Let him ask in faith. And so if you don't have to have had the model or the experience to know the way to go. And so everything you need is in God's sure word. And then you're with God's people here who know that word, and then some people are ahead of you in the race, and some people have been there, done that. So follow them. And use them. And here's this goes for almost everything, but then somehow when we become adults and parents, we act like this doesn't work this way anymore. Ask the question. If you want to know, like, then don't be so proud. Like, in the classroom, the best student is the one who's asking the questions. He might come across as annoying. She might come across as goody-two-shoes. They might seem like, it's just always trying to learn. Yeah, that's how you learn. So if you don't know, then you got to find someone who does, and you know that's God's word, so go to God's word, and then others who know God's word, and go, hey, listen, I just don't know. Can you help? And that's always been a blessing for Danny and I, and it would be a blessing to you too.
That's really good, brothers. Thank you. Let me just do this. Let me ask you, brothers, for one final thought, one final encouragement, one final piece of counsel maybe that you'd have for the parents in this room. Could be quick and just kind of go. We won't go down the line, but just go as you're ready. I'd love to hear from all of you guys. It's one final encouragement.
God's word gives you everything that pertains to life and godliness. That goes for first you in your heart as a believer, as a Christian. He gives you everything you need to understand what that ought to look like in your life. And then he gives you everything that you need to know how to convey that to the humans he's given you to care for.
We're going to go down the line.
Let's do it.
God is so gracious. And even in your parenting, I just want you to never lose sight of that, that it's there's going to be failure, parents. There's going to be moments where you just you mess up. But God is so, so gracious. And as you hold on to those truths that God loves your kids more than you, and God has such a good plan for your kids, even more and beyond what you could dream up or ask or think, he doesn't ask you to be perfect. He just wants you to be faithful. So don't lose sight of that. Just be faithful, and God is so gracious to work through the mess.
Yeah, I'm going to follow that up by saying lead your family by leading in repentance. And so I think one of the ways that we erode in our relationship with our kids, and I'm learning it, is that we project that we've got it all right. We project that we're the authority. We project that we're perfect. We project that we are in charge. And as your kids grow up, they realize some of those things were true and a lot of those things were wrong, and you never owned up to them. It is not it's not you giving away your authority. It's not you giving away your position as a parent. Do not be too proud to be a Christian in your home. And so model repentance. It is going to take a lot of, son, I failed you in that. I'm sorry. Daughter, I didn't not talk to you the way that I was supposed to. I'm sorry. And honestly, that sometimes is private. I had a situation, honestly, that I could think of maybe a couple months ago where I lashed out at a kid in front of everyone. And so my job was in front of everyone to then have to make it right. Because I can't have this projection that I know I'm going to fail, but somehow I'm going to hold the line that I'm still right. That's crazy. And it's anti-gospel. So lead your family by leading in repentance. Be a Christian at all times. And that will be a benefit of blessing to your kids.
Yeah, I'm going to say the same thing a little bit different way than Esai did. But I think we were on another panel, was it last week? Week before, Jay said something that just reduces just the simplicity of parenting so beautifully. It's like, I don't know if you remember saying it, but it's like, just remember to love your children, okay? Like, they are a blessing. And in the midst of everything that's going on in your life, maybe an issue dealing with that one time, remember, they are God's. God does love them more than you do. So just give them that extra measure of love and just love your children. And, you know, as Matt said, a big part of your parenting is loving your spouse as well. And then I would break it even more to what Esai just said, is basically love the Lord the most of all. So the way I always say it is, you're no better, just to simplify Christian parenting, you're no better a parent than you are a spouse, than you yourself are a child of God. And at the end of the day, the way that you parent as a Christian is just be a Christian, all right? Live your life out as a Christian in front of your kids. Gospel-centered parenting, gospel parenting. Christ died so that you could do just that. And so just rest on the gospel, the good news. Not only saved you, but he has enlivened you and given you the ability to please him in that way.
Amen. Thank you, brothers. Can we thank these brothers for their wisdom?
Thank you, Matt. Thanks.
Could I give a shameless plug for my breakout session.
Of course you can.
Only to say that it's the location is wrong in your program. It's in actually in 270 West, not the third floor, but the second floor.
That's good. Yeah, I was going to say, while I have your extension, what we're going to do here in just a moment, I'll ask Matt Palladian to close us in prayer in just a second. But we will take a 10-minute break here, and we'll ask you to be in the respective rooms in 10 minutes. So let's do 225 Apple Standard Time. And we'll downbeat there real quick. So get in those rooms. To be aware, there's two rounds of breakout sessions. They're to be 20-ish minutes each. And so make sure you're not following what's in your booklet where it says 370s. All of those are 270s, whatever they are, central, south, and west, and north, and east, and whatever they are. But they're 270s. So the signs and what's on the screen are all correct. Your booklets are not. 270s if that's one of the ones you're going to, okay? Makes sense? So 10-minute break, 225, be in those rooms, and we'll go from there. Matt, could you close us in prayer?
Let's pray. Father, what a blessing it is to know that all we need to do in order to do this well is to open up your word. I thank you for these men who are so faithful to do that, not only here, not only when they counsel parents and families, but certainly when they teach our young people at this church. We're grateful for a church that prioritizes gospel-centered parenting. And we thank you that it is the good news of Jesus that motivates us. We know that you have given these children as a gift, and so our desire is just to introduce them to the giver, to you as the one who gave them life and gave them to us. So we pray, Lord, that we would be faithful to make that introduction complete and that they would be then made complete in you. In Jesus' name, amen.